Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
No, I think you're right. I thought Pete was great yesterday. I think Pam did a great job today. We were helping one of President Trump's nominees today with the prep session. I think they're all going to do well because they all represent what the American people voted for. On November 5th, the American people said, we want folks running these agencies who actually respect the taxpayer, who respect we the people, aren't going to weaponize these agencies against us, but make these agencies actually serve the American public like they're supposed to. That's the attitude of Pam Bondi. That's the attitude of Pete Hegseth. I thought they both did very well in each of their respective hearings.
So the hearings march on, and it doesn't seem as though anybody has hit any major roadblocks so far. We are 4 days away from Donald Trump's inauguration, and last night we were able to watch the farewell speech, I guess, of Joe Biden. Did you guys watch that live, either of you?
I did.
I listened to the whole thing live.
And when... So what do you mean? How did you do that? Oh, on the air?
Here. Yeah.
So you were not able to watch it?
No. No, I listened.
These things always, it does make a difference. And it's hard to tell which way it's going to make a difference, but it does make a difference if there's a visual component when you're taking it in. People will watch something and feel differently about it because they saw it. And I think I remember yesterday it said there was a news alert that said he was going to give a speech or something, but it didn't really cut through.
Not really.
Like,
no.
I was kind of, my son had a basketball game last night, so I was at the gym, 5 o'clock game, get to the gym, get home, get dinner. Nice to be able to have dinner like before 9:30. And so I'm sitting there, I get home, and a lot of times my kids are at school, so I can say this, they won't know. I turn the news on so they go other places.
Okay.
Have you ever done that?
No, but I
put that trick in your back pocket.
Yeah.
when they're just like on you, and they're on each other. It's like, hey kids, let's sit down and watch the news, and they're like, I'm out, and I'm like, I know.
Yeah, something in black and white.
So okay. Well, that's another way. My 8 year old. This is such a this is non sequitur. My 8 year old. She watches what we refer to as grandma TV, because my mom will watch Perry Mason, Twilight Zone. Now, their reaction to Twilight Zone is not the same as yours.
I bet.
My dad has said, he's like, it's stupid.
And as in your parents' reaction?
Yes. My mom will apparently sit down and start watching Twilight Zone every time. And at the end, they're like, that was stupid.
Well, some of them are stupid. I'll give them that.
Well, that's the sentiment. But anyway, she'll watch Green Acres and what's the one with Opie?
The Andy Griffith Show.
Yeah, Andy Griffith Show. And then also like Hallmark movies and everything. And my 8-year-old loves this television.
Really?
Yes. It's wonderful time for my 8-year-old and my mom to spend together, because then I don't have to do any of that.
Wait. Mm-hmm. Andy Griffith Show, okay, I can see it.
Yeah.
Perry Mason?
Yes.
What?
Well, I will come to pick him up, and Evan will be like, I have to know how it ends. And I'm like, Well, he's probably going to solve it, or he doesn't solve things. He's probably going to win. Does Perry Mason win every time?
He's a lawyer, right? I mean, that's all I know. I hate that show. It's terrible. I didn't watch that show when I was young.
If I put Perry Mason on in my house, my 8-year-old would come sit down next to me to watch it. So that does not deter it. Fox News? No.
Really?
Just because they're so used to it. Well, this is like leading into last night. Like I watch Jesse Waters. That's if I'm going to watch the news at night, I start there. I don't need to watch, you know, Central, the 6 p.m., the 7 p.m., the 8 p.m., the 9 p.m. I don't need to take in all of that. I've got a life. I need to dip into one, and Jesse is the most entertaining for me. So I'll put him on. I'll watch. I'll fast forward through the things that maybe I don't feel like I need to pay attention to. And the presidential address was at the beginning of Jesse Waters' show, and I wish that, I don't know if it's YouTube TV, which is what I have, or if it's Fox or what, but I DVR everything on Fox News. I DVR everything on Fox Business. I DVR everything on MSNBC and CNN so that I can always go back to it if I need to watch it for this job. I use it so much for what we do here. If they change it to presidential address or something and it doesn't, and Jesse Waters doesn't start at 7, I don't get to record it.
Oh, it's recording the program, not the time slot?
Yes.
Oh, interesting.
Which is nice because in YouTube TV, you don't have a limit on your DVRs, which is why I record essentially everything that happens on the news. So I didn't have it. So then I had to go to YouTube and pull up the YouTube live stream of the presidential address. And I was delayed, so I had to rewind and find it. And I sat there and I was thinking, like, gosh, you would think that the final presidential address would be appointment television. Like, I want to be at home to see this when it happens. And I recalled the fact that yesterday I got a news alert that it's like President Biden prepares his final remarks to the country or something like that. And I'm like, oh, yeah, that's right. I remember that. And then I watched it and I'm like, this is so boring. I'm professionally obligated to pay some of my own attention to the president of the United States, to hear what he has to say, to watch it so I can react to it. And I was just super bored.
Speaking to you tonight from the Oval Office. Before I begin, let me speak to important news from earlier today. After 8 months of nonstop negotiation, by my administration, a ceasefire and a hostage deal has been reached by Israel and Hamas, the elements of which I laid out in great detail in May of this year. This plan was developed and negotiated by my team, and will be largely implemented by the incoming administration. That's why I told my team to keep the incoming administration fully informed, because that's how it should be, working together as Americans. This will be my final address to you from the American people, from the Oval Office, from this desk as president.
So there, that was how he started it. He started it by saying, this deal got done, and it was all because of me. Do we need to take a moment and think that all of this happened potentially because of the absolute abject weakness of the United States of America? Do we want to go and point out all of the different areas and foreign policy that Joe Biden's just limp-noodled don't has impacted in such a negative way American influence on all of these different conflicts? Minor incursion, what does that mean? In the terms of history today, the world's on fire, and it's because of Joe Biden. And in his final address to Americans, the most important thing is that you know what he did. And I just have to say, President Biden, we know what you did. I'm not sure that you know what you did. And I mean that not just snidely. I don't know if this guy, I do not know the mental processing capabilities of the guy who for 4 more days is the president of the United States.
Even if he does fully know what's going on, he didn't have anything to do with it. Now, I don't mean his administration. I mean him personally. He wouldn't have had anything to do with those conversations. He wouldn't have been participating in any of that.
Why did you wait until you were almost not the president anymore? to negotiate this hostage deal. If you're so capable of this, why didn't you get this done earlier? Why has it taken till the very, very, very last strike in the bottom of the ninth inning for you to try to get this done? And I will add that this is not a completely done deal. We heard was it Trey Yingst at the top of the hour with Fox News Radio, I think, was reporting that, you know, as of last night, Netanyahu and in Israel wasn't able to get the vote completed. So there's the ink isn't completely dry on this. And yes, if you want to take credit for as a Trump supporter, if you want Donald Trump to be able to get the credit for this, the ink would have to be dry in that capacity as well. There is nobody who thinks that this is happening because of Joe Biden. The overt forceful claiming of credit for this, it's not interesting to anybody. Nobody believes it. The best asset that Joe Biden has from Americans right now, the most useful asset that man has, is sympathy and pity. And if you, I just always think to myself, if Senator Joe Biden were able to peek into the future of January of 2025 and see what his presidency culminated in, to watch his own delivery from the Resolute desk in the Oval Office, would he be proud or would he be ashamed? And I think he'd be ashamed. I don't think that Joe Biden, with his wits about him as a younger man, would want to see more of this. I think he'd say, I've seen enough. And the photograph of the Oval Office with Jill Biden sitting next to Hunter Biden, as well as Kamala Harris and Doug, and those individuals, like what a crew. And what a massive failure they have been for the country, for her people. An abject failure. When I watched that last night, I was momentarily dismayed. And then I realized in 4 days, everything is going to change so incredibly dramatically for this country, for the people of this country. We are going to quickly, and I believe we already are seeing, the change that is going to come with the presence of Donald Trump. There are people who are changing policies, who are changing public positions, who are changing, rerouting funds to places that support an America First mentality, who support a Donald Trump agenda. They are doing that because they know he's coming in and they want to be on the, what's the phrase, right side of history. And watching people do that because Donald Trump's presence is back in Washington, D.C. in 4 days. It's preceding him. The results are taking place before he even gets the opportunity as president to act. And it was last night watching that speech was just one final reminder of how we got back to here. Because if you step back a little bit and you look at how we got back to here, it's really quite shocking. I don't think that we thought it was likely that Donald Trump would be the president again in 2024. That's still shocking.
Yeah, it's like the whole world is in the substitute teacher's class. No offense, Brad. I know you ran a substitute teacher's
class. I was a cool sub.
Really, really well. But it's like when the substitute teacher's there and the kids are just like, you know what? We know there are some rules, but we're going to bend everything possible. We're going to get away with as much as possible. And then they hear the principal's footsteps coming down the corridor. They go, uh-oh, everybody shape up. He's coming or she's coming, whoever. We're in that moment right now. It hasn't quite gotten there. Principal's not quite there yet, but the class is shaping up. Hey, we were doing everything fine. We're doing fine.
Back to life. Back to reality. And you can't effectively, positively influence the outcome if you're not living in reality. The problems that we've been sold that we need to fix, when you're being sold the disease and the cure, and that is a literal phrase from these people, when that's the way it's going, then you're not only not first in that equation, you're not even in that equation. It's happening to you, not for you, not with you. It's gonna so impactfully change our country in 4 days, and we're already seeing the results of it. The YouTube live chat poll for today: Inauguration Day is 4 days away. How are you feeling? Excited, anxious, scared, or calm? We want to know what you think. Hans von Spakovsky is going to be with us next. We're going to talk about the Pam Bondi hearing. It seems very likely that she would be confirmed by the Senate. That a lot of the confirmation process challenges was due to Kash Patel's FBI director position. And we were just looking before the show just to confirm. We still don't have scheduled confirmation hearings for Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Howard Lutnick, Linda McMahon, Kash Patel, Brooke Rollins, or Elise Stefanik. Those are still to come. Pam Bondi yesterday for attorney general. How did Hans von Spakovsky think that she did in that confirmation hearing? We'll ask him when we come back.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Mix and match 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries for $2.99 each when you buy three. Take advantage of this exclusive digital deal. USDA Choice Boneless Beef Tri-Tip Roast, Untrimmed Twin Pack, $3.97 per pound, limit one package. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Will it be your advice to the president? No, Mr. President, I need to go over them on a case-by-case basis. Do not issue blanket pardons. Will that be your advice to the president?
Senator, I have not looked at any of those files. If confirmed, I will look at the files
and
for
will
the
you
pardons
be able to do,
as well
will
as
you
the
be able
ongoing
to review hundreds of cases on day one?
I will look at every file I am asked to look
at. Of course you won't. So
at.
Will you advise the president?
Can I answer the question?
Well, my question
I
is,
would have plenty of staff. You said, of course you won't.
You'll be able to review
Listen,
hundreds
I'm not
of gonna cases on the first day?
Mislead this body, nor you.
All right, let me ask another question. You don't want to answer that. Let me ask another question.
You were censured by Congress,
also,
Senator, for comments
also,
just like
the people
that also,
more perfect.
Our form of our perfect union.
Heritage legal expert Hans von Spakovsky.
I can't think of a more insufferable face in Washington, D.C. than now Senator Adam Schiff. There he is in all of his righteousness, questioning the potential Attorney General of the United States, Pam Bondi, who I thought did pretty well yesterday. Let's ask Hans. Hans, welcome back to the show. Good to have you here.
Thanks for having me back. I agree with you. I think she did great because she didn't take any guff from the senators. When they tried to cut her off like Schiff, she insisted on trying to answer, and she was very straightforward in what she was saying. I have to tell you, I started laughing when I saw Sheldon Whitehouse, the senator from
yeah.
Oak Island.
Oh.
He started asking her about, well, is the Justice Department going to engage, political prosecutions of political opponents, so forth, and she said, well, obviously that's what's been going on for the last 4 years.
Yeah, he said something like, you wouldn't find a name and then try to look for the crime. You'd find the crime and look
right.
for a name, right? And she was like,
right.
Is this real life? So
because that's exactly, remember, that's exactly what Letitia James, the AG of New York, and Alvin Bragg did. Both of them said, we're going to get Donald Trump, when they were running for office, they clearly picked the man and then decided on what kind of crime, in this case, bogus crime, to charge him with.
Yeah, impeachment starts today. That was one of the news headlines right after he got elected the first time. Hans von Spakovsky, right, speaking with us right now. Based on what you've consumed watching the Pam Bondi AG hearings, the only concern that seemed consistent across the board from specifically the Democrat senators was their concern about Kash Patel. And I was like, remember, this is a Pam Bondi hearing, but they kept bringing up Kash Patel. How do you feel about Donald Trump's nominees and their ability to effectively right the ship with our justice system?
Well, what I would say about that is that they all have the right attitude, whether it's Pam Bondi, Kash Patel in particular. They all have the correct attitude. The problem they are going to face is massive resistance from the career lawyers and career folks inside these agencies. I mean, literally, it's going to be like trench warfare inside the FBI, inside DOJ, when the two of them get there and start trying to clean up and fire people. And to give you an example of how much resistance they're going to get, I don't know if you saw this, but they just had a vote in the Civil Rights Division of the Justice Department. The Civil Rights Division is where I once worked. It's the worst division in the entire Justice Department, filled with the most radical left-wing lawyers you can imagine. They just had a vote to unionize.
Mm.
So the lawyers there, who already are almost, it's almost impossible to fire them because they're protected by these pervasive career civil service rules. They just voted to unionize so that it'll be even tougher for the political appointees who come in to get them to do anything.
So what kind of abilities will they have to make sure that the people, the bureaucracy, that's what the whole swamp is, right? The people who are there,
right,
who preserve the system status quo and do not serve at the pleasure of the president. They serve at the pleasure of the bureaucracy. What is the way to weed out those people and make sure that America first loving individuals are in there doing the job to make sure that justice is blind and fair for every American citizen?
Well, the one thing they have to do, and I have to tell you that political appointees in prior administrations, I'm thinking, frankly, of the prior Bush administration, were afraid to confront the career folks at the Justice Department and were afraid to fire them when they were insubordinate. And that's what has to happen when Pam Bondi comes in. If they tell lawyers, for example, to dismiss what they consider to be an abusive lawsuit, like the criminal prosecutions of peaceful anti-abortion activists, something that's been going on in the Civil Rights Division, if those lawyers refuse to do that, they shouldn't just be transferred to a different job. They should be fired, because that kind of insubordination is grounds for someone being terminated from federal employment. They've got to be willing to do that and to fight any kind of claims that those lawyers then may try to file, saying, well, I shouldn't have been fired. That's a key component of getting things done. And all it takes is confrontations with a small number of these career people when they are insubordinate, when they leak confidential information to their friends of the Washington Post, that it may actually help shape the behavior of other career people there.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky, senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation. Can you teach us a little bit here the structure of the Justice Department? Because the Attorney General, they're very, very high up in the American government system. I heard several senators yesterday questioning the idea that the Attorney General serves as the president's personal attorney. What is the role of the Attorney General and what do they all oversee?
The Attorney General oversees the largest basically law department, law office in the United States. There are literally thousands of lawyers inside the Justice Department. They are divided into major divisions. The Civil Rights Division, for example, enforces all of our laws that prohibit discrimination, like in voting, in employment. There is a separate criminal division. That's the division that enforces all of our criminal laws, prosecutes mobsters and drug dealers and people like that. Many of those lawyers are all located in Washington, D.C., but there are also Justice Department offices and lawyers in every state in the country. In fact, there are, I think, 93 separate offices of United States attorneys. Some states only have one U.S. attorney. Other states, if they're larger, may have two or three or four or more U.S. attorneys. So they're spread out all over the country. And while there's no way that the attorney general can know and have direct supervision against every one of their lawyers, the political appointees who will be spread out working under Pam Bondi as her direct reports, they do have supervision of all these other lawyers. So it's a big operation. By the way, a lot of people don't know this. You know, the FBI officially is actually part of the Department of Justice. It is not a separate, independent federal agency.
So Kash Patel, should he be confirmed by likely only Republicans in the from the Senate, he would serve under Pam Bondi?
Yep, he would. And I expect that they will have a very close working relationship, which is good, because that means that she'll support him in the major steps he needs to take to reform the FBI, which includes, by the way, getting rid of and terminating much of the top leadership at the FBI. And he hopefully will also be supporting her in the work that she has to do.
We're speaking with Hans von Spakovsky. The Senate confirmation hearings for Trump's nominees are taking place, and getting a little detail from the inside here. Somebody who understands the Justice Department very well, Hans does. I want to ask you about the presidency, because Joe Biden has 4 days left. He gave his final address to the nation yesterday, sitting at the Resolute desk in the Oval Office. It's kind of a grim, didn't seem like a very positive message. What are some things that might happen as a president is leaving office? You know, of course, there are pardons, there's clemency, there are different things that powers that a president has that they might do in the bottom of the ninth inning as they're on their way out. Is there anything particular that you're looking to see that possibly President Biden might do with those executive powers?
Well, I am concerned about more pardons, more clemencies. I mean, what he's done so far is just disgusting. And look, the latest to show you just how bad this is they just gave what I would consider a very light plea deal, a very good plea deal, for an MS-13 gang leader who was involved in the deaths of seven people, including two young girls. And the Justice Department was trying to pursue the death penalty against this guy. But because Joe Biden is against the death penalty, they just did a plea deal, and the plea deal isn't even life in prison. No, it's a sentence which could allow at some point in the future for this guy to get out of federal prison. I mean, that's the kind of terrible things that Joe Biden and his minions are doing at the last moment as they leave office.
Sometimes I wonder if Joe Biden is somebody else's minion, but that's a different story. Hans von Spakovsky speaking with us right now. Is there anything that you feel like Joe Biden has broken beyond repair? Because when you have a new president coming in, if Joe Biden signed an executive order on day one to stop drilling or to open the border or whatever, most of the time those executive orders can be undone by the next person. Of course, not as powerful as Congress coming together and making a law that a president signed. That's much more difficult to change. But is there anything that Joe Biden has his fingerprints on right now that you think might be very hard to rectify?
Well, I think it's Look, I have tremendous confidence in Trump and Tom Holman, who's going to be his immigration guy. I think they're going to take all the steps necessary to try to close our borders and deport, particularly the dangerous criminals and other aliens that have come in. But good grief, Biden has made their job so difficult just because of the sheer number of illegal aliens that he has allowed into the country. In the first year of the Biden administration, they allowed more illegal aliens to cross the southern border than in the entire 4 years of the Trump administration. The numbers are estimated now upwards of 10 to 12 million. That is a very difficult task that they had ahead of them. Like I said, I have every confidence in them, but Biden has almost done everything he can to try to break our immigration system by allowing these huge numbers of unchecked, uninvestigated, unknown individuals to come into the country. And we see the results everywhere.
Well, Hans, next time we speak, it will be a different day in America, and a lot of things probably will transpire between now and next Thursday. And we look forward to having you back and talking about the developments, especially these confirmation hearings as they continue to go on. We always love speaking with you, Hans. Thanks for being with us today.
Yep. Thanks for having me.
Of course. Bye-bye. Hans von Spakovsky is a senior legal fellow at the Heritage Foundation, former FEC commissioner and DOJ lawyer, and our friend on Thursdays on the Annie Fry Show. When we come back, let's talk to Ryan Wiggins and Wiggins America. Is this topic right on the sheet?
Yeah.
He just did this.
He didn't get to the ones that we shouldn't buy, so he's swapping them.
Dollar store items you should not be buying. Don't go away. You can vote in the YouTube live chat poll as well. Inauguration Day is 4 days away. How are you feeling? Let us know on the Annie Fry YouTube live chat. We'll be right back.
This
Well, it's a focus on your finances this week as we begin the new year. We can still say that. These have been dollar store things that you should be buying at the dollar store. That was yesterday. So just a brief recap. Greeting cards, gift wrap and paper, cleaning supplies, toothpaste, and some items like that are things that they recommend you do buy at the dollar store. Party supplies, things like that. Today, though, I have things that you should not be buying at the dollar store. After listening to Hans von Spakovsky, this feels a little less important than I thought it was going to.
Hans is the one who persuaded you to do that? To think
well,
that way?
I was enamored listening mm-hmm. to him talk about the difficulty in dismantling the deep state. And as I was listening to him say that, I thought, I'm talking about dollar store items.
For the second day in a row.
For the second day in a row. And I started to examine my life a little bit.
So here we go.
But we're going to stick with it.
We are still going to stick with it.
Despite all that, I'm encouraging you right now is if you're just tuning in, get the podcast. Because that was a really, really good, substantial interview with a lot of really good information in it. This, too, has good information, just of a different type. So these are things you should not be buying at the dollar store, Annie. Number one, paint supplies. Buying paint supplies at the dollar store?
Like for your home or for crafts?
For your home. Brushes, rollers, other tools that are usually something that's going to cost quite a bit may seem enticing to buy at the dollar store. But they're saying, do not buy these things at the dollar store because you're probably going to buy three times as much of it because it doesn't last as long.
The urge is strong.
The urge is strong. When you paint, do you go for like, yeah, I'm going to get the cheapest paint I can, or do you go for the stuff that you're going to use just maybe one coat for?
I call a painter.
That's probably a better idea.
You got to get the good stuff.
My thoughts exactly.
Painting for me, I'm a middle of the wall kind of gal. I will paint the middle of the wall. I'm not doing the edge. I don't have that kind of patience or time. So if I do it, that's all that's going to get done.
You're talking about just like a coat of paint. You're not talking about creative painting. You're just talking about, I'm going to coat the wall with paint, but I'm not going to do the edges.
What are you talking about?
Well, when you said middle of the wall, I was picturing some sort of Instagram thing where you're like, oh, I'm going to paint balls and bats here. And
yeah, you know me.
You're kind of an Instagram.
It's like a regular old Hunter Biden on my home walls.
Oh, jeez.
Are you referencing the news story about that? Because that
why conversation is so hard.
That was incredible, that news. I mean, what the heck?
What news? Why don't you tell the people? We're having a lot of inferred conversation here.
What I heard, and I think this was just a Fox News update that I heard maybe on the station coming in this morning, I don't remember exactly, was that whoever was buying and selling a lot of Hunter Biden's paintings, now, again, this is like secondhand, is saying that so many of his paintings were burnt up in the West Coast Palisades fires that he's claiming millions and millions of dollars in losses. Is that about right?
Yeah. Well, okay. The New York Post has, it says a trove of nearly 200 artworks by Hunter Biden have been destroyed. One of the casualties is the wildfires ravaging Los Angeles, the Post has learned. Ken Morris is the person that says it. He's an attorney in Hollywood, and he said that it is valued at millions of dollars, which is what the...
I know. Just the inferences.
It's going to be wild if Hunter Biden, after getting that sweeping pardon from his dad Joe, goes to prison for insurance fraud.
To be fair, I'm looking at some of these paintings right now, and they are really good. They're really pretty. Now, I don't know like how exactly to value like
artwork.
He's
talking about my home.
The middle of the wall painting.
Yeah, that
middle of the wall painting.
Yes, very abstract.
Yes. The bats and balls.
The unfinished part makes you wonder about the unfinished areas of your life.
Like if you squint your
introspectively,
eyes, turn, tilt your head to the right.
You're like, there's just more to do.
Which is the exact same thing that I was told looking at Ryan's picture that he drew of Annie. Squint your eyes. Mm-hmm. Tilt to the right.
Turn around. Walk away.
Yes.
It's a magic eye. If you blur your eye enough,
I poke
Annie
you
comes
in the face.
Right out at you. Yeah. She's pointing at you like Uncle Sam. But you can't tell because
no jaw.
It's not very... Yeah, it's not done very well. So Hunter Biden, to summarize, probably did not use things that he got at Dollar Store to paint those beautiful paintings that
he
are worth millions of dollars. Number two is... cooking utensils. There's a big movement right now that cheap cooking utensils are made of bad plastics, and they get in your food, and they are carcinogenic, and all this stuff. This is all coming from Katie Wiggins, but also from Yahoo. That while dollar store utensils may provide short-term savings, they wear out faster and require frequent replacements as well. Brad. Number three. This one's for you, Brad. Makeup. Buying makeup at the dollar store may sound like a good idea at $1.25. It's
who
very
wrote
tempting.
This article?
Yahoo.
Yahoo wrote it for Yahoo.
Yahoo creators. It's an original.
Nobody is like, I'm going to go buy my makeup at the dollar store because that sounds like a good idea. You buy it there because you don't have any other money.
Yes. Well, this is not an area I know much about. When I come into the studio, what you're getting... is me just right out of the shower.
Ew.
I'm not pretty.
Braided leg hair and all.
I'm not. That's not even on the camera, though.
Thank God.
Buying cheap makeup often comes at the cost
Ethan,
of quality and safety.
Ethan, at least he wears a shirt.
Yeah. Ethan, now you're at the bottom.
I don't think that's what the people are saying.
Number four. Plastic food storage. These containers are typically made from flimsy plastic that can crack, warp, or break easily, especially when exposed to heat or heavy use. Many dollar store containers may also lack proper seals, making them ineffective for keeping food fresh or preventing leaks. Annie, stop buying your plastic food storage things from the dollar store.
Things.
Okay.
Check.
Yeah, we just use the containers that to-go food comes in.
Mm-hmm.
Those are free.
Yes.
No, let me rephrase. Those are included. Go on.
Do you reuse the styrofoam or do you have the nice stuff?
Oh.
How would you reuse
the styrofoam?
That's what I'm wondering. Like that's what the food came in if we went to a restaurant. I mean, to each their own. Number six, electronic accessories. Dollar store electronics such as earbuds, phone chargers, or small gadgets are often made with cheap components that can break easily, fail to work properly, or even pose safety risks like overheating or short-circuiting. I can testify to this.
I can too.
I only buy Samsung.
Really?
They're outrageously priced, but they are the only ones that last. They don't cause your phone to overheat. Like when you see people's beds being set on fire because they had their phone plugged in and laying on their bed at night, which I do from time to time. It's that cheap stuff that causes that.
I've never heard the overheat thing.
Oh, I have.
So just the charger itself can be the source of overheating your phone?
Like, believe it or not, there's microchips and stuff in that that
they
meter
shut them
the,
off.
Yeah, that meter the level of charging and all that other stuff. And if it's not the good stuff, it can send too much of a charge to your phone, causing your battery to get really hot. And lithium batteries, when they explode, they create quite the fire.
Well, no kidding. But the reason I was saying that is because I've definitely noticed that if you get the cheap chargers, A, they don't last as long. They fray and they come apart. But then second, they don't seem to, like, after a month, I can't get them. You got to, like, shake them to make them work. They just come apart real easily.
Yeah.
Last one on the list. And this one was tough for me because I really like doing this at Christmas time, especially with my kids. Toys. Say, don't buy the toys at the dollar store. Although we had a great time this year because my kids now are to the age where they will buy toys for, or whatever, for each other. It's usually toys because they're 10, 10, and 7. Now, the 7-year-old could not figure out what to buy for his brother and sister. So we just went to the dollar store. And I said, okay, you got 10 bucks to spend on each of them. And it was a blast. He had so much fun picking out, you know, 7 toys for each one of his siblings and then wrapping them all in one big package and having them open them. And they thought they had hit the jackpot because they got 7 things instead of 1. That was a blast. But what they're saying is the toys are cheaper. They don't last very long, just like everything else. Mm-hmm. And that you, if you're going to buy toys, just buy the good stuff.
So what you're saying is you get what you pay for.
What I'm saying is you get what you pay for.
But there's still, like, even like that's a perfect example of a time where it makes sense to go something cheaper. It's not like there's never times where, you know, that can't be an option or there aren't times where that makes sense, you know, because that does. But there's other times, you know, where maybe in a situation like it's you guys providing the Christmas presents rather than your son. Now, obviously, I'm sure there's more examples than just that, but that does make sense.
Yeah, exactly. And I will say that the list yesterday has to be paired with this one because this is all like the don'ts, don'ts, don'ts. There's a lot of really good stuff. I mean, getting Kleenex, for instance, is great. We stock up at the dollar store all the time and with things like paper products. A lot of people chiming in online and saying that's where I get all of my, not only Kleenex, but also toilet paper and paper towels and all that stuff at the dollar store. It's just easy to really spend a lot more than you think you are because you keep tossing stuff in the cart and going, oh man, it's only a dollar. It's only $1.25, but it adds up pretty quick. So anyway, those are your economic tips for the week, both in terms of what you should buy and what you shouldn't buy at the dollar store. And of course, if you want to go back to Tuesday, your relationship with money and all things money related. There really is nothing else money related that you need to know after listening to Wiggins America this week.
Jeez.
That covers it. Tomorrow, yeah, Dollar Store Misconnections with Ryan Wiggins.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if you ever walked past somebody in the dollar store, you found them very attractive, but you were afraid to talk to them. Tomorrow, we're going to take your live calls.
Oh.
That's not true. That's not true.
That's correct. That is not true.
That's not true.
Aww.
In the 1 o'clock hour, we got Tyrus coming up. We also are going to bring my friends in from the Lutheran Elementary School Association. We're going to talk with Libby and Amy because, guys, they have decided to let me have my own Lutheran Elementary School. Lutheran scholarship, and I'm very nervous about this because I talked you guys up so big. I made promises about how kind and generous y'all are, and we want to make Lutheran education possible for local kids here who might need a little extra assistance, and they're letting me have a scholarship. So we're going to talk about the details of that at 1:25. But Tyrus on the Annie Fry Show per Thursday, the Uge, when we come back. Don't go away.